When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Listeners to this podcast will also get a 10% discount with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop.
Brazil.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome
Africa.
We've already done that one. I did Sing Sing Brazil the other week, mate, so you were a bit late on that one.
Sorry.
Joke's on you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Sorry about the puff in there. My name's Marcus and Pete's here. Luke's here.
All right.
And Jim's here.
Hello.
Yes, all four back and better than ever. You'd be the judge, perhaps.
Wow.
Second round has begun. We're well into it. We are knee-deep in the second round.
Balls out of the bath.
We'll talk about somebody's balls in a bit.
Okay.
And it's not anybody in the studio this time.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, it's okay. Brazil 1, Chile 1. Massive drams. Massive drams. Brazil 1, 3-2 on penalties. Oh, my giddy aunt.
Ridiculous.
All of our giddy aunts and our stable uncles.
Great game. Great drama. I think Chile have got a decent shout for actually being the better team. I'll put that out there.
I'll go with that one.
I thought the better team won.
They definitely had more possession first half, I think it was. They held on the ball quite well.
Second half and extra time, it was...
They were knackered.
Until the 120th minute, it was always going to be Brazil.
I'd never seen... I can't remember a first half like that first half in a World Cup match.
Great, wasn't it?
It was excellent. It was so open and so quick.
Did you think...
in that heat.
My more malevolent side was looking at it thinking, oh, I really hope Chile win. In fact, not just my malevolent side, actually, a significant portion of me. But then another part of me thought... Oh, no, but you can't have the host going out.
What will happen?
And also, actually, the more rational side of me, there's a lot of different sides to me, ladies and gentlemen.
You're a big hexagon.
You thought you knew me, didn't you? was that if the host went out, the atmosphere in the stadium around the Brazil would have dropped.
Yeah. Because there were so many Brazilians there.
Yeah, it would drop.
You essentially don't want your host going out too early. And that is as a fan, and obviously we don't get a say in it, but I mean, because whatever happens, happens. If Chile had won, they would deserve to have gone through, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally, I really wanted Chile to win because they were my sort of dark horse tip before the tournament and all that other stuff. And but you're right. If Brazil had gone out at this stage, it probably would have been a little bit disappointing.
But we love the Chileans, and they're a great team. And it's such a shame. And it was a shame that they played each other so early. Mm. But I think apparently journalists. Well, so apparently I've seen them. They've been tweeting that Chileans have just been walking around the hotels just in a daze, just saying, "Oh, so close,
yeah,
so close."
It was an inch.
It really was an inch.
Incredible.
It was an inch or two twice. One in the penalty, in which case you in the penalty shootout with Yarrow, which at which point if that goes in, you put all the pressure back on Brazil, and you don't know what's going to happen. And then obviously an extra time with Pena. That was so close.
The ex-Hearts man.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The pace of that ball. Oh, goodness me!
That's why he's ex-Hearts.
Three games, two goals. I think that's his record.
I do think the penalty was just so close. I've never seen somebody go out that close.
It went behind the line, but the other side of the post.
Oh, yeah. God.
Is that one of the ones for goal line technology? That's so stupid, isn't it? Some of those contested ones. It hits the post, comes flying out. Well, hang on a minute.
No goal.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Jonathan Pearce is like, what?
my problem with goal line technology being that they don't use it for the keeper coming off his line for the penalty.
Yeah, again,
it does my effing loaf in it.
Would
really
the goalkeeper have to swallow a microchip?
I don't know. Well, presumably it would be the same technology. It's an object going over the line, or they should be having to stay on the line until the goal is kicked.
What about for the penalties, they quickly dig a big trench in front of the line. So if the keeper jumps forward, he's disappearing. Yeah. Open net.
He's in the bamboo.
It should be like it should be what they use for a roller coaster, where the roller coaster car stays on the track.
Mm.
And so basically, the goalkeeper clips his boots into that, and he can go back and forth across the line, but he can't go front or back. So he goes across the line. And as soon as the ball's kicked,
it's released.
Yeah. And he goes forward and he can save.
I'll put him on one of those sticks like in Sevilla.
Yeah, that would work as well. That would also work.
Oh, yeah. Just make them take the penalties again.
Well, bearing in mind that what a good game I thought Howard Webb had. It was Howard Webb, wasn't it?
It was Howard Webb.
He looked magnificent, didn't he?
I thought he had a great... Because he was ex-policeman, I thought, I reckon he would try and mace somebody with that invisible spray. I bet he thought it was his mace.
I was hoping Big Howard would have, towards the end of the game, gone up for one of the corners, nodded it in, and then ran off and ripped his ref's top off with an England shirt underneath.
Right. May not have shot, mate.
Hey.
No, we're not going to talk about any of them for another little while.
No,
it was nice to see him repair his international credentials a little bit after his final 4 years ago.
Well,
he
wasn't bad in the final. It was the Dutch and the Spanish.
I think it was unfair on him to be criticising him in that final because what's he supposed to do?
They were all yellow cards.
Yeah, what's he supposed to do?
Well, De Jong's kick, wasn't it? That was a bit much.
The Spanish were annoyed that De Jong didn't get sent off, and the Dutch were annoyed that Robin wasn't. He wasn't as given a foul when he went through and missed against Casillas. And I thought, well, even I don't know.
That's how it works.
Do you think Brazil were unlucky to not have a penalty in the first half?
Which one
was a bit
that?
Of a coming together?
No, I thought he got it spot on. I thought he got that one right, actually, Howard Webb. And it just made me think even more. Because obviously he's an English ref, so the commentators are going to mention his name a little bit more than they normally would.
Yeah.
But when you have a game like that, where it's the host nation, everybody is watching.
Mm.
And, well, not just the host nation, of course, everybody around the world. Such a monumental game. The quality of the football is obviously very high. The speed of the game, the way it's being played, and there are players trying to con the referee. They're making his job that much more difficult. And I thought, they really do need to clamp down on diving because it's such a deceitful thing. I don't know how you do it.
Well, even if you don't want to take a moral standpoint on it and be all like, it's diving's wrong because we're English and that's not how we do things.
Mm.
But even if you put that to one side, it makes the referee's job so much harder.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and so from a purely dispassionate point of view, you should do it for that reason because the referee has a hard job as it is.
Mm.
And we'll come onto it in the Netherlands-Mexico game, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult for the referees. When the game, that Brazil-Chile example is a good one because the game was played at such pace. And such technical proficiency, where they're just giving it and going, knocking around, they're all over the place. So difficult for a referee to keep up.
That's it's an extra thing. If it's happening a lot, which it sometimes does.
I thought Alexis Sanchez was the best player on the pitch. I thought he was fantastic.
Well, he took his goal so well, didn't he? In a game like that, you've got to take your chances, and he was just clinical. Like, it was such a difficult thing to do because the chance just suddenly appeared, but he didn't hesitate at all. It was like just
the way
just,
the ball
an excellent through, tournament.
The way the ball was whipped over to him straight away, that error was pounced on.
Yeah,
and they are the margins in the best level of football.
But those players, like Alexis Sanchez, is a good example of this. And that's obviously the ultimate example is the great Barcelona side of a few years ago and the Spain side as well when they were at the top level. Is their touch is automatic.
Oh.
It's like absolutely automatic.
It's not in doubt.
It's like playing a computer game in the mid-90s when you just knock the ball into the player and because the computer game wasn't as developed, it just sticks to the player.
It's like that.
And really, England players aren't like that. I don't want to bring it back to England because England are gone. But do you know what I mean? Something needs to change for England players to be that sort of touch. Automatic as those players are, because Alexis Sanchez, the amount of times the ball would fly into his feet at like 50 miles an hour because he's being closed down quite quickly, the guy who's making the pass, it just kills it dead. And you're right about the clinical nature of his finish, because that was a mistake by Hulk, wasn't it, from the throw-in?
Yeah.
Hulk had a poor game again.
I thought he was unlucky with his disallowed goal.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that was clinical.
I don't know. I think he mishit that though, didn't he?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
It was a kind of weird knee, wasn't it?
It was a shinner and he handballed it.
Wait, if you get
it was a massive hammer. I was struggling to keep my cool with the commentators going, well, you know, I don't know why. And also the fans as well, the Brazil team. I was just thinking, well, he clearly handled it. Like, you could tell the way that he didn't maneuver his massive frame into the position that he needed to be. He clearly had his hand. Why Why would the ball have stopped?
No, I agree with you, but the first couple of his peck.
Yeah, his peck.
The first couple of replays were a bit hard to tell. But I know what you mean.
But look at his body shape as he goes at the ball. How does it suddenly stop?
I know
he's got pectorals. I know he could probably squeeze it between them. But
if you are going to shin it in the bottom corner, that's what I'll say. Does it become a bad finish if it goes in the bottom corner?
Well, you do what you have to.
Exactly. He swung a leg at it and it was just kind of like...
It's accidental, though. You can't exactly give the credit, sure.
But you don't know what's going on in his brain.
I've not seen...
I don't think anyone knows what's going on in his brain, judging on what we've seen so far.
I love that Rio Ferdinand calls him the Hulk.
Yeah. I'm all over that.
I've not seen such control with the shin since Dave McPherson. Scottish listeners of a certain age, you know what I'm saying there.
Should we nip out for a bit?
Yeah, just talk to them.
Don't be jealous.
Have a little moment with the listeners.
Okay. Bring Chrissy Apples back.
Yeah. You're still angry about that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
The golden years. That was our Pep Guardiola generation.
The good old days.
Currently under Martino. Chile, they were very, very well organised, but so were Brazil. Weren't they?
They were less organised.
Well, they didn't give away much. Well, they didn't give away much at the back, and considering Cameroon had a couple of chances.
Brazil started very strongly, and for a while it looked like they were the only team in the game. But they let Chile back in, and as soon as Chile just found some rhythm, Brazil struggled to really make any impact on
them. But Chile didn't really create many chances. They pounced on a mistake. But Brazil
but you say Brazil didn't give too much away. I mean, they had the goal.
They gave away a goal. Yeah,
they had the Padilla chance to hit the bar. Then Julio Cesar made a really good save. That's three chances.
I mean, 120 minutes.
Yeah, but that's the margins in the World Cup.
What about I said they didn't create many chances?
Okay, let me put it another way for you then. Just to put it another way, in your opinion, are Brazil going to have to step up another level when they play Colombia?
Yes, but not that.
So they obviously aren't their best.
But a level which they can do. I thought. Well, actually, would they need to step up a level?
They went to penalties, though. You know when,
and they're at home.
I just thought Brazil looked a lot better than what they did in the group stage. They looked
slightly different point. That's not the point you made.
What was the point
you said is they didn't give too much away to Chile and they were worthy to go through.
Well, I didn't think they gave too
but
much
I think,
away.
But I think in fairness, I'm not trying to catch you out or anything, but in fairness, that's a slightly different point to that they were better than they were in the group, because I would agree with that. They were better than they have been in the group, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, the point was Chile didn't create that much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's funny. I mean, Brazil are the home team. They're fancied. Chile had to work very, very hard to as you would expect. But I didn't really necessarily see that much from Brazil to be overly impressed with.
No.
I mean, the goal they scored was, okay, they were always going to target set pieces because of Chile's diminutive size. Chile probably could have done a bit better. It was a bit unfortunate. Okay, Hulk's goal we've already sort of established was a handball and he shinned it. So, I mean, there's not really much to talk about there. I mean... I don't really remember. I mean, Brazil had quite a lot of shots, but I don't remember having a massive amount of shots of amazing quality. So they are going to need to step up again, because one thing's for sure, Colombia will really, really attack them. Mm. And they'll need to be able to deal with that. And if they don't deal with it, they're going to need to score goals that, to be frank, I don't think they're capable of scoring. You can't not be on your absolute best against a team with the attacking ability of Colombia. Brazil, if they aren't on their game, are going to need to probably score three goals. And do you really see them doing that necessarily?
Well, putting three past Brazil would be incredibly impressive, even this Brazil.
No, but I'm saying I can see Colombia scoring a couple times against Brazil.
Yeah, but Brazil will stick Gustavo or Fernandinho, whoever it is, on Rodriguez.
I don't think Fernandinho had a very good game. He came in to replace Paulinho, which, if you're a top level footballer, you must be happy with that, because all you got to do, mate, is look better than Paulinho. and to be absolutely hard, just try, mate. Yeah, to be completely critical about it. I don't necessarily think he did look that much better than Paulinho. I think Luis Gustavo is a good player. He had a good tournament.
Well, they'll stick someone on.
He looks like a troubadour, which should be applauded.
I think he looks like a sex pest.
Well, there's often a lot of crossover.
What I've always said about a troubadour is take away the guitar and you've got yourself a sex pest.
And that's exactly what's happened.
No, you know, pinnacles to that mast and all that. Yeah. The sex pest mast.
Yeah.
Have you seen my sex pest mask, by the way?
It's covered in nonsense. Covered in fluff.
What the hell are we talking about? Football. I think that they'll stick someone on Rodriguez, and I think that they have got the type of players that can upset his game. And he's obviously the man making them tick at the moment. And I think Yepes, you know, you've got your 38-year-old at the back there.
If Neymar's on form,
yeah, if he keeps running at them,
Neymar didn't have a great game.
It's talk of him missing. It's talk of him missing that game.
Is there
for what reason?
Injury.
But if you look at something like a team like Chile, they're not a counter-attacking side. People say that they are. They're not. They just go at you. Yeah. They just got you. I think Colombia are a little bit more structured in the way they attack. They're just a little bit more thoughtful, and I think Brazil are going to find it a hell of a lot more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. When Pinilla hit the bar at the end, that to me was. That was one of the moments of the World Cup. Mm. And what I mean by that is, it was one of those moments where I was utterly engrossed, and my heart skipped a beat, and I just was enthralled by what I was seeing, and I thought, my goodness, imagine if that had just crashed in.
But often, though, we were talking about this earlier, because of the tight margins I've already mentioned, you get the sense that when that happens late on in a game, like, that was the one.
Yeah.
It was that going in, or it's this team losing.
Such a great hit.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I was absolutely gutted to see Chile go out, because I thought they deserved a lot better than the second round. Yeah. Of course, World Cup's difficult. That's how it goes. They didn't win their group, of course. But I've seen enough World Cup games in my time to know that when Pinilla didn't score that was that. Mm. You could just tell that's it.
I was watching it with my mate Mark, who's not into football in the slightest, but he said, wouldn't it be brilliant if like the crossfire was like you could shatter it like a strip light? I was going, yeah, that would be good actually. Just smash it.
That would be really good for a bit.
They'd have to bring on another one.
Oh, I've got mates who don't like football. Oh. Pathetic.
Yeah, it's nice to have mates at all, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in theory.
The penalty shootout was quite something, wasn't it?
The David Luiz 100-yard run and blast is a beauty. That is an underrated move in sports entertainment, Just legs it was it Ronnie Whelan used to do that?
Yeah.
Leg it for about 50 yards.
Like a Roberto Carlos free kick.
There's a lot to be said for doing the opposite of what Neymar and like one or two others do, where stutter and stutter. Just go right back to the halfway line and just do a war cry and run as fast as you can. So the
all
keepers
the
go, what's staring happening?
Staring in the keeper's eyes. Yeah.
Seems to be quite a popular penalty, the stutter and see where the keeper's going to move.
Well, Neymar did it nicely, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, when Neymar stepped up, I was...
More used the word lottery, I noticed, in the run-up to it.
Did he? I
think we're going to see some decent penalties here, which, to be fair, I don't think we did. There was one... What was the one that was top right and it just was unservable for
the Chile lad. He just walked up and just went, up yours!
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like a toe. It was incredible.
It was an absolute beast.
Lifted it.
It's a type of kick you do in training. You think, I don't care. Ah!
Two penalty shootouts over the weekend, was there?
Mm.
Yeah, Greece, Costa Rica was the other one, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll come to that.
My penalty shootout theory is that, and you'd be surprised how often it works, is you think of the three things going into the penalty shootout of the team. So you think, obviously, who's the most experienced team? Who's the most technically proficient team? And who's the most tired team? And if you can get a majority on those three things, you'd be surprised how often you get it right. So the most experienced team is Brazil. The most technically proficient team, okay, probably in between. And the most tired team was in my view at that point, Chile.
Mm.
So that I was thinking, right, okay, I think Brazil will win the penalty shootout. And they did. But then with the Costa Rica one, it came undone because of Greece.
Yeah. Well, there's the extra element, which we'll come to, which is
I really
probably
thought
the most
win
crucial.
That one, yeah.
Greece were tired too, though. I was thinking about this yesterday. People always assume that Costa Rica are more tired because they're covering the extra man. But Greece have still played that 120 minutes. You know, they're still exhausted themselves.
Yeah, but
and Marcus, if we're playing football and you're more tired than I am, that doesn't help me. You know, I'm still knackered. So,
God bless you, Jim. But we'll talk about that in a short while. But when Neymar stepped up, I thought, I won't be able to take this if he misses.
He was crying anyway,
yeah,
wasn't he?
I won't know what to do with myself.
A few of them worse, as I was too.
Do you know what I mean? I won't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
If they go out and he's
the baddie.
Well, Cesar's had some journey, hasn't he?
Hasn't
back
he?
Into that team, and you can understand why. And the pressure, Neymar says he loves the pressure, and he performs better under it. And
seems to be true as well.
Yeah, he performs better for Brazil than he does for anyone else, I think, from what I've seen. But obviously, the emotional release when you get through a game like that is clearly absolutely huge.
I think Brazil needed that, though, didn't they? If they'd have strolled to a 2-0 win against, I don't know, say... another side. Say if it was Greece they got in the next round or somebody like that.
Yeah.
They needed that. They needed a fight. They needed to grit their teeth and dig
something
in.
To unite everyone, both the team and the fans.
Yeah, and also there is, you know, they did get an element of luck. Of course they did with Pinilla hitting the bar and whatnot. So I think they'll, when you stare elimination in the face sometimes that's actually quite good for you, and you come out of that and you think, right, we need to be at the races here.
Has Neymar been like their player of the tournament, or has he been one of the players of the tournament in the whole wide thing? Because I was just worried that he might not be fit for the next match and he might come on. Is there a bit of gamesmanship in that one?
Forgive me if this is updated since I've come in here, but when I was reading about this earlier, they were saying there's a chance he won't make the quarterfinal. Mm.
Well, is this an outrageous thing to say? Could that be nonsense? No. I was going to say that I know people have said, well, actually, without their best player, they've become more balanced.
Not this Brazil team, I don't think.
He's been really good for them. Like I say, he wasn't great against Chile, but he has stepped up.
He got kicked around, though. Yeah. Mm. It was, I said at the time, it was like Pelé in 66. He's just getting kicked all over the place. They clearly targeted him. And I think Howard Webb could have been a bit stronger on that, actually.
But the referees have clearly been told by FIFA, ease off on the cards. And the fouls,
yeah,
probably because the World Cup is in South America. And actually,
was it Fernandinho who got like three in a row and didn't get any yellow card in the first half?
The referees were very lenient this tournament.
Yeah, and some of them were tough challenges as well.
I think that does cater more towards the South American sides because they give a lot of fouls away, and especially Brazil. They're a big dirty bunch. The Brazilian team.
You naughty little sausage!
Well, they are, aren't they? They have been for years. People talk about the salmon football. Yeah, but let's not forget.
Yeah, they can mix it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they your favourite big dirty bunch?
Well, I would like to reveal that on the show because I think they listen.
Honduras still a big dirty bunch, or is it a stronger?
That sounds too flippant for Honduras.
Yeah, exactly.
Dirty bunch.
Filthy bunch, I think they are. Colombia.
Where do you stand on the Munch Bunch?
Leave them where they are.
Where do I stand on them?
Yeah, where do you stand on them?
I wouldn't like to pinpoint my accuracy.
Listeners to the Football Ramble are eligible for a fantastic offer with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. The easy-to-use drag-and-drop tools, responsive designs, and 24/7 customer support teams based in New York and Dublin mean you can create a beautifully designed website for as little as £5 a month. This includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes. So when you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RAMBLE to get 10% off and show your support for the Football Ramble. No credit card required. Start building your website today. A better web starts with your website.
Colombia beat Uruguay 2-0.
Yeah, they did.
What are you laughing at, Jim?
I'm laughing at all the cool kids on the internet changing their names from James to James.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could do that. I haven't. Yeah.
No, probably because you're not...
James or him?
Actually, I was going to say probably because you're not an idiot, but you are an idiot. So it's a confusing one for me.
Kimmy Campbell.
It's just law of averages, isn't it?
Yeah, fair
that one.
Yeah. Yeah, he was making.
I hope the people who changed their name from James the Hammers on Twitter realise they are essentially the football equivalent of those girls who change their names to names of One Direction and stuff like that.
Are they?
Oh, those ones you follow on Facebook, yeah?
Correct. Yeah, that's how I know.
So your friends on Facebook?
Yeah.
No, you can actually follow now, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Get with it, Grandad.
Yeah.
Have you seen a film called The Social Network with Justin Timberlake, who we were talking about before the show?
We were. Mm. He's on his new promotional tour of the album that he's going to be putting out soon. He's got a white man's overbite on all of the pictures, which I quite like.
Is that right?
It's a strong look.
Shall we go back to James Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Mm. Or James.
I've had enough of Hustin Timberlake.
His first goal is one of the best World Cup goals you'll ever see.
Yeah. Can I debate in my office today? Was it the greatest World Cup goal ever? Putting it out there.
That's a big shout.
Yeah, that is a big shout.
And your office has had a difficult one this afternoon.
Not as, yeah. Not as good as Berkane against Argentina.
Oh, I don't know, Jim.
No.
Come on.
So. I'd say Maradona's against England was better than...
Yeah, such, the problem with comparing those types of goals is because the Maradona one is such over the other end of the scale than the Rodriguez one. Because he's a completely different set of skills, isn't it, that he's employing there?
It's still an individual goal.
Of course, but what I'm saying is it's hard to compare them, isn't it?
I'd say the Argentina goal again against Serbia was... I'd have that higher than Rodriguez goal.
But Rooney's goal.
Or against Uruguay.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it's completely the other end of the scale.
Would you rather see a James Rodriguez goal like that, or would you rather England get a good clean sheet to build on?
I don't see what England have got to do with it.
Nobody
Oh,
does.
Don't you?
Somebody hasn't read a newspaper in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, were you talking about the Alex Ferguson?
What? No, we're not.
Because apparently Alex Ferguson could have signed him, and he chose Bevy. I'm not sure that's true. Actually, I think that's why.
Well, even if it is true, that sort of stuff must happen all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Captain Hindsight. What you can't. Exactly, he could even. Alex Ferguson couldn't even predict the future.
Exactly. we could have not started this podcast.
Harry Redknapp tried to sign Neymar back in the day. Oh, did he? Well, he tries to sign everyone, doesn't he?
So, exactly. Yeah.
It is one of the great World Cup goals. It's an instant classic.
The little look as well.
Hitting hub.
Yeah. The little look as well. It just makes it that bit better.
No, the reason he had a little look is he thought, shit, we're under pressure. I better get rid of this. And he just cleared it.
Yeah.
But what Tiger Woods said whenever he's asked about if he's the greatest golfer of all time is he said, my ambition has only ever been to be part of the conversation. And that goal is obviously part of the conversation. Mm. So in many ways, it's achieved it. Because you're never going to get a definitive answer, are you, what the best goal is? No. Because it depends who you ask. Presumably, we all agree that it sort of superseded Tim Cahill's effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously. Mm. He's a funny-looking one, Rodriguez, because he's so, like, baby-faced that it looks like his face hasn't finished growing.
Yes, you know.
He looks so youthful.
He looks a bit, to me, like a more handsome Hamsik. Mm. Without the mad hair and stuff.
Bit of Hernandez in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got another one as well, didn't he?
He did.
He did. That was good as well.
He got a brace. A brace.
Five goals in the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, the Golden Boot's been won on that.
It has. Yeah. Sure has.
The way Colombia play and the way they celebrate, they look like a side that will...
Who can dance.
Yeah, that know they'll go far.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
They look really comfortable.
Choreographed goal celebrations. You reckon they're confident, yeah.
Well, no, but I know Ghana did one as well, but it's like, well, we've scored again. We know the routine.
Yeah.
It's a case of, well...
You think they're expecting to score.
There's goals in us. There's goals in us, and they're not sort of thinking, right, come on, keep it tight. They're like, we're in this for a long time.
We're in this for the
and
goals.
A good time.
On your point about Colombia against Brazil and how Gustavo and whoever's going to try and close down Rodriguez and make it difficult for him, I thought that Uruguay were pretty well equipped to be able to do that because they're quite strong in that part of the pitch and they couldn't.
But Uruguay were listless. It almost looked like the Suarez situation which just knocked the wind out of them. Yeah. It was a strange performance from them. It was, almost seemed like they felt like they didn't know it wasn't a group game.
Suarez has apologised, hasn't he?
He has.
Finally. But in the last, like, 5 minutes, it's been really, really, really weird. He's stuck to his weird gun all, you know, 3 days of it.
Well, he had sore teeth, to be fair. He couldn't speak before.
People may be suggesting that a new club that he may be going to have sort of said, apologise, otherwise we're not going to take you on. Mm. But, I mean, there are all sorts of little rumours and whatnot there. But the rest of his
I mean, it's a pretty good one. The player that's gone the other way and some money is amazing for me. Because he clearly wants to go, he clearly wants to leave. So
Well, and also, I think the apology itself is quite surprising. Mm. And it would maybe back that up because he was very...
defiant.
Unremorseful, if that's a word, and defiant, as you say. And the rest of his countrymen certainly join in. I mean, the president of Uruguay calling FIFA, they're just an old sons of bitches, and they've punished him, and this is a fascist ban, and all this kind of
shit. If you want to pipe up about stuff that FIFA get wrong, you're going to be there all day. Yeah. This is probably not one of them.
Yeah. Don't start with him.
No. But it seems that Latin America seems to find this kind of whole thing, you know, an affront to their culture. And it's like, you don't want to bite people. That's not. You
really
saw what happened. Yeah.
Mm. It's so interesting.
Spectacularly missing the point.
The interesting way of how, from what I've seen, obviously I've not been there, but the way Uruguay fans at large seem to have defended him, and the FA. It's so funny. Say, for example, one of the England players did that, they'd be absolutely hammered. They'd be a pariah.
Absolutely.
The media would be on their back and all sorts.
I almost thought as well the way Uruguay played, it was really, really poor because surely, I mean, maybe this is just that we have an English mentality and it would be completely different. If I was in a situation like that where the best player in my team had done that, I'd be so angry with them that I would try and use that to get up for the game, and you would think the rest of the team would do that, but that doesn't seem to be the case. They just seem to have been just accepted that, you know, they'd been wronged in some way and just limped out.
Are you surprised that Tabra is letting it affect them, Marcus?
I am, because there's a guy who, you know, we've said before, is one of the most canny operators at the tournament and one of the best tactical minds. I mean, they're playing a good Colombian side, so let's not forget that. And Colombia did restrict them greatly. But you're right, Uruguay didn't really get going until they were 2-0 down and with about 15, 20 minutes to go.
And Colombia didn't really struggle.
Yeah, they had a couple of opportunities, but Colombia were pretty much plain sailing. But then, if Cavani, I think he had a chance to keep a
But Cavani looked isolated.
He looks half the player now, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
I was going to say that really like the way that Colombia have just made a step up and a step up and a step up every time. I'd be really fascinated to see how they get on against Brazil, whether they can step up again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously, everyone's talking about Rodriguez, and you rightly say they're probably man marking, but I think there's more to come from Jackson Martinez as well. I think he could be a problem for Brazil.
He's shown flashes, yeah.
Well, if Neymar is out, that's obviously a huge plus for Colombia, but with their back four, obviously they play in Brazil, and Yepes loves a scrap.
Yeah.
And it would probably be Fred on him.
Which is ideal pace-wise for Yepes.
Yeah, I think that's actually would be a lovely matchup between the two of them, but the way Fred's been and
it's
the way...
It's crazy they can't find a better striker than Fred or Joe. No?
Diego Costa.
Yeah, well, that's...
that's the thing. Costa's not exactly set the place on fire, has he?
Well, no, he hasn't, but maybe it's because he's being booed every touch in a team.
When
that,
he's injured.
I think he's just not fit.
Of course he is not fit. But it's crazy. Diego Costa would surely walk into that team. It's such a bizarre decision from him.
Very strange. Right?
Yeah. The team that can find a striker, and they've got a couple of beauties, are the Netherlands, of course.
Mm.
Yeah. They beat Mexico 2-1. Both sides a bit sluggish in the first half. Well, maybe not
heat,
Mexico,
though.
Actually.
The heat was crazy.
38 degrees, I think it reached.
There were fans sat in the stands, had to leave where the sunlight was directly
on
them.
I've never seen that before.
And those players playing in that. I mean, the Dutch weren't at their best, but that is obviously why.
Well, it begs
the performance almost... It's almost not worth analysing because it's such a strange set of circumstances.
It begs the question again, is should they be kicking off at that time in that part of that country? We've seen, you know, when England played Uruguay in Sao Paulo, it was actually a little bit on the chilly side, I think. It wasn't particularly warm at all.
Mm.
And I know it goes down to the organisation again. They have catered the times for a more European audience because games are now kicking off at 1 PM and 5 PM the afternoon evening in Brazil.
That's crazy.
They should be kicking off at 5 in Brazil and say 8 or 4 and 8, something like that. They should not be kicking off at 1 PM, especially when it's in such a hot climate in those parts of the north. It's pretty piss poor.
They just don't give a shit, do they? Mm. Look at the stadium in Manaus. What's that stadium in Manaus going to do when the World Cup finishes? It's a joke.
Over the jungle, we'll reclaim it, I would imagine.
Yeah, the thing is...
Literal monkey tennis.
Because we're so used to, like, Sepp Blatter being so bad, we don't really acknowledge this that much. But if you take a moment to think about the fact that Sepp Blatter is not sure whether he's going to be able to present the World Cup trophy to the winner because of how bad the reception he's going to get.
Yeah.
And every time he's shown in a stadium, all over the world, he's booed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm. It's absolutely a bizarre set of circumstances.
I don't know why the FIFA president has to be so visible anyway. I've never understood it, really.
Yeah.
It's just an ego.
Exactly. Well, you know, you take the rough with the smooth. You're a complete... you're a terrible human being. I was going to use a terrible word there, but you're a terrible human being. Why do you feel the need to stick your head over the parapet so much?
I don't think it originally was, but when...
No, it certainly feels like that's grown in the last decade or so.
The reason why was João Havelange, as the Brazilians would say, the Brazilian man, of course, himself, when he took over from... I think it was an Englishman.
It was Stanley Rouse, was that?
Yeah, that, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah, whoever he took in charge in the 60s or 70s. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
That's crazy. Two presidents since then.
Well, he was certainly around in the 74 World Cup, I think. And he was an Olympian, I think. He was a swimmer.
Right.
But he was a big personality. And
he was a sailor.
Or was he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Something in the water. Yeah. And... he was a big personality and he revolutionised the way it was. I mean, not all for the bad. Sepp basically learnt under him.
Mm.
And
Marcus, I can remember when we first started doing this show. And that was 7 years ago. We used to get quite a lot of material out of FIFA and it wasn't really that well known to be having a pop at them.
Well, Warner was our favourite one, wasn't he?
Yeah, people didn't really get on the back of them that much. It certainly wasn't a mainstream press thing at that point.
Yeah, it was in your kind of The Observer and the sort of said and done column in The Guardian and all that kind of stuff.
We were slagging Blatter before it was cool.
So now we like him.
Yeah.
But going back to the Netherlands game.
Those football kits he gave us.
Yeah. Going back to the Netherlands, I think you're right about the temperature, but I also think that, Miguel Herrera was just completely outmanaged by Van Gaal. Van Gaal used the water breaks very sort of cannily.
In the second half, certainly.
Mexico were the better team in the first half.
Yeah, they were. And they looked like the only team in it.
They were both playing 3-5-2, and Mexico kind of cancelled them out there.
But they had that injury to De Jong, who's a very important player for them.
And then Dos Santos scored a great goal.
Yeah. Which I was pleased for, because he was amazing against Cameroon. He didn't get the credit, because he had about 48 goals disallowed. What do you want me to do? I've scored every type of goal. Stop disallowing them.
I've got to say, the Dutch keeper doesn't fill me with confidence.
No.
I think he's okay, actually.
Yeah, he's okay, but he's not.
The Mexican keeper's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's such a shame to see the back of him.
It is, it is.
It's weird now, isn't it, teams going out? Like, you almost build up a relationship with him in the group stage. They just start dropping like flies.
But even like Ochoa, like, did a punch and the commentary team didn't roast him for it. Like, they love roasting a puncher, but it was a really necessary punch you needed to make.
Not all punches are bad. As you will find out in a minute if you carry on.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're going to give him a good punch?
I'm going to punch him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He made a fantastic
necessary
save.
Threat of violence.
A fantastic save he made to keep it at 1-0, but the Dutch came forward. And and before we talk about the obvious with Robin, when he skipped through and missed the chance he might have done better, everyone said that was the chance. If you were going to leave your leg in there, he gave you the option, but obviously he thought he was going to score and was quite focused on that. But in that second water break, Van Gaal changed it to a 4-3-3. And obviously Memphis Depay was on at that point. Dirk Kuyt was pushed to right back because they were getting a lot of space on the flanks, and obviously that's with the fullbacks.
Can you imagine Dirk Kuyt would have done a shift in a factory after that?
That's right.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. But Van Gaal had the balls to take off Van Persie and put on Huntelaar. I totally forgotten about Huntelaar.
No, yeah.
It's like, he's bringing off Van Persie. You have to go, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he's got another brilliant strike.
Yeah, he was doing so well for Schalke and he had a quite a long injury. So,
but a proper number nine, Luke.
Yeah,
not in and around the box, in the box.
I was really disappointed with him in the last World Cup. Was it the last Euros, actually, wasn't it? When they qualified really well and he was top scorer. He was in a real purple patch of form. And, of course, he's not really been in the conversation this World Cup until then. I just thought that I was tapped into what I was saying maybe a week or so ago, which is that I don't know, you guys didn't all agree with me, but you don't know whether these teams really fully believe they can get through. It happens too often. Yeah.
You're talking about Mexico?
Yeah, I just don't know whether they... I think that Mexico, even if it's subconsciously, just see a team like Netherlands and go, these are World Cup heavyweights. Yeah.
So because it happens
hard.
So much, doesn't it?
It does. I mean,
it wasn't a surprise when they turned it around with like 3 seconds to go or whatever it was.
And we say this as England fans as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we do.
Because it comes true so often, those big experienced sides, the previous winners and the Dutch, I suppose,
who
weirdly seem to count in the same bracket.
I mean, they've been to finals and stuff like that regularly, haven't they? I mean, three World Cup finals they've been to, haven't they? So they are big players.
Yeah.
I thought the pundits were a bit harsh on Rafael Marquez, I have to say.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, fair enough, you want to roast him for that mistake, and it was a mistake, but you don't really see a player of that quality and experience lunging unless, one, he's very tired, and two, he's been given the runaround by probably one of the world's best attacking players for the last 90 minutes. I mean, essentially, what's happened is Rafael Marquez has been roasted by the pundits for sticking a foot in lazily because he's so tired. And he's been playing for 90 minutes in 30-odd degree heat, and he's not getting any younger against, like I say, one of the world's best attacker players. And
who's exaggerated the contact?
The striker's thrown himself on the floor. I mean,
well, it was a dive.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
But there was contact. So, I mean, he had pretty much every right to go down, especially because he'd spent the last 20
minutes. But earlier
we
said they shouldn't make it harder for the ref.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The strikers will say, we're not getting decisions. If you pull me back in the box and I don't go down, or you touch my clip my heels and I don't go down, I don't get a decision. So I need to do it so I get a decision. But then we're saying, well, don't make it harder for the ref.
But also, I mean, when you come out after the match and say that you've done something wrong, a la David Beckham when he steamed in with us through two yellows all those years ago, you should be able to take retroactive
Well, you're
action.
Right, because if Robin had been booked for that dive that he should have been booked for, he wouldn't have dived in the last minute because he thought he could have a chance.
He did have a penalty.
In the first half,
Mexico nearly could have had one.
Of course, but you understand what I'm saying. If he'd been booked for that dive, which he should have been, everyone agrees he should have been, does he then not dive in the last minute because he's worried about getting a second yellow? I don't think he does dive. I think he carries on.
I don't know. I think it would take someone with steel cojones to book someone twice for diving in the World Cup. I don't think that would happen. Just because there's margin for error and you're not likely to be completely sure.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't think Robin would have dived.
No, but what I mean is I think Robin might have with that in mind.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Yes, but when Robin goes down like he did, he gives the referee a choice to make. He doesn't go down and it's, oh, did he lose his footing or was there a little bit of... He throws himself down and looks at the ref and says, well, is that a penalty or not?
And the ref's got to have some brass balls on him to give a penalty in the last minute of the knockout game to welcome anyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I felt for Mexico, the same way I felt for Chile, really.
But, I mean, it was... Was it good to see Schneider smashing one in?
It was. He's been quiet, hasn't he, up to then? And it was great to see a bit of the old Wesley Schneider back.
It's a curious set of circumstances, because although Holland have been, or Netherlands have been irresistible going forward, Schneider's not really been that great.
No.
If he still kept his place.
But what a...
that's where he hit it from. Look where he was.
Yeah.
What a vital contribution.
It's similar to the Messi hit. It was just like, just get on with it.
It was a fantastic
get in
goal.
Yeah.
Again, such confidence at such a crucial stage.
Mm. I actually think that the Netherlands would have gone to win it in next time anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Penalty from Hunter. Like.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Back to the Schneider finish, though. I love, because it was hit with such force, the way it makes the net rip away, it almost looks like the net's surprised.
I like Hunter last celebration, sort of fly kick in the corner. Like,
yeah, it's nice. Yeah. Shades of De Jong on Alonso's chest.
Yeah. Do you hear KLM? The Dutch Airlines caused a bit of a stir. They tweeted from their official account after the match a picture of an airport departure sign under the heading Adios Amigos.
And next to the lack of class.
And next to the departures was a man with a moustache and a sombrero.
A lack of class.
Isn't it? Mm. And actor Gael Garcia Bernal tweeted saying, well, I'm never flying them again.
Oh, the joke's on them.
And a KLM spokesperson said, well, it was meant to be a joke, but there was too much negative reaction.
I'm never gonna fly with them again.
See,
either.
If Luis Suarez had reacted like that, then you know we'd have far less problems now.
That's I'm right. never gonna fly with Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
No.
Yeah, or the one mentioned.
Yeah,
Gael Garcia.
That was the joke.
Yeah.
Ah, well, yeah, a bit negative reaction. So maybe it's not a joke.
Yeah, maybe
anymore.
It wasn't a joke. Yeah.
Costa Rica won. Greece won. Costa Rica win 5-3 on pens.
Oh. And the Greeks will not learn. That's the price you pay for not taking advantage in extra time.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, with my flawless until that point penalty thought experiment, Greece were shoehorned to go through. They're definitely a shoe-in to go through, and then Costa Rica ruined it.
It's a shame that the Mexican keeper has gone home, but at least we've got the Costa Rica one. Navas,
yes,
he's still
excellent.
In. He was magnificent.
Yeah. Greece have never. That was their first penalty shootout, wasn't it? Which I suppose if you add that to your algorithm, Luke,
I will do,
that'll
yeah.
probably help in future.
Well, I think the crucial thing with the penalty shootout there was. Pinto, the Costa Rica manager, said we'd practice penalties and we'd study the Greek players taking penalties.
Right. One of the best shootouts I've seen ever. It was so well struck.
Haven't got to study Gekas taking penalties.
You probably don't even need a keeper.
No.
Well, he would have gone in if the keeper wasn't there.
The best keeper, by definition,
but I think Gekas would find a way.
Even if it was a gigantic oblong man in a keeper shirt.
Gekas is one of the better strikers around at getting in positions.
Yeah,
he takes up great positions. Yeah. He is absolutely hapless when the ball comes out anywhere near him. It's like he's got the bit about getting into positions nailed down, but then he's always surprised when the ball comes to him.
Yeah. It's like he's too busy thinking, what is it I'm supposed to do with the ball again?
Oh,
before actually
Navas
doing anything.
Made
with
a great save from him in the first half. Mm. And then in extra time from Mitroglou as well.
Yeah. That was a brilliant save.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Mitroglou's penalty was particularly good. It's good to see that he can actually do something.
Yeah. Ruiz gently put Costa Rica ahead.
Yeah, it's a weird goal, that.
Yeah, was it a scuff? It was a
slow motion.
But it looked classy. Ruiz is one of those players where he can scuff a ball and make it look classy.
Yeah.
The only reason it didn't look more classy is because he was playing the same thing as Berbatov at Fulham.
Yeah, maybe.
Otherwise, he would have been the big one.
Fulham well represented.
Yeah.
Both captains.
Yeah.
Playing out their fucking skins.
Influencing the game.
Well, they've had a season off, haven't they, basically? So they're really fresh.
Georgios Karagounis looks like Leighton Baines' older brother who's in the army.
He's 37. Yeah. 37-year-old. He's retired from international football. 139 caps. He made his Greece debut in 1999.
Wow. Do you know what I'd like to know? I'd like to know how many fouls he's made in the Greek shirt. Because I'll tell you what, it's more than that.
I bet that family with a disabled child are quite happy that they didn't get invited or they didn't take up the invitation of going to go and watch Chris like dump themselves out of the World Cup. Yeah. They're in Florida or something. They're having a lovely time. I'm glad we didn't go in the end.
Better decision,
Tom. Greece were basically playing in extra time against nine-ish men because Campbell was shot to pieces.
Just
scored a good pen, though.
He did. I love that.
I was like, don't take one. Tiny bit left in the tank.
But it was a gentle penalty, wasn't it? He didn't exert too much energy.
Well, Duarte was sent off in about, what was it, 65 minutes?
Yeah.
And it was all Greece, and eventually they scored, and the way they celebrated, and obviously to keep themselves in the competition, you thought to yourself, well, this is a foregone conclusion. And Costa Rica as well, they were playing quite a dangerous game. Now, I understand if you're down to 10 men, you still want to have a little bit of an attacking edge to give the team with 11 something to think about, so they don't just bombard you completely. But at times I did think to myself, like Costa Rica, they had four defenders in their own box against three or four Greek attackers, and I thought, you're basically going man for man there. There was no parking of the bus. There was no, OK, let's No. Last few minutes now, lads. Let's bring it back.
There was a great example of going gung-ho and then defending to the absolute textbook for Costa Rica, where they chucked a lot of people forward and they found themselves with a 5-on-2 breakaway.
Oh, yeah.
And the two centre-backs were absolutely technically perfect.
Yeah.
Like, kept their shape, kept them right in the position to make it hard for any Greek player, made it difficult for any decent pass to go through, and didn't panic, and it broke down and gave themselves enough time. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's deserve a lot of credit for that, because, I mean, that is such a difficult thing to do.
But they were playing a team that basically just sleepwalked into the out of their group. It was a really weird. It's been a really weird World Cup for Greece. I think they just did not look interested.
They got spanked in their opening game though, so they still had to. They had a mountain to overcome. Really,
they've shown a lot of character. I do know what you mean, Pete. You sort of look at it and think, "Blimey, they're through." Yeah. I wish England had a bit of that.
Because almost the big story at that point was that Ivory Coast had gone out, not that Greece had gone through.
Yeah.
And so people sort of concentrate on that a bit too much. And Greece. I mean, Greece could have been quarter finalists. They were very close to it.
Yeah, exactly. But the Dutch will be rubbing their hands together, won't they? A very tired Costa Rican side.
You'd wonder how much they can recover, because it was such a difficult game for them. Mm. And also, Duarte will be suspended, won't he? And he's an important player. Mm.
Just before we came on, France beat Nigeria 2-0. It was end-to-end stuff in the first half. Yeah,
such an open game.
Like a Premier League game.
If Nigeria had any strikers worth anything, and I'm including Shaw Ramey, I'll be on that one.
Shame not to see him.
He can't do anything from the bench, Pete, can he?
Exactly.
No, he's gone home. The last English representation that isn't a referee.
Howard Webb, mate.
Which is come on.
I got so excited about saying that I just ignored the referee bit.
Pogba and an own goal.
Which looked like a really tidy Griezmann flick.
Yeah.
But his celebration, which was like basically a bemused Gallic shrug sort of
I was desperate for Nigeria to score in that first half, because they had a lot of good chances, and you thought, you've got to make this game.
No more Onyema.
I was going to say, another great keeper's gone home.
Yeah. It's been a great World Cup for goalkeepers, hasn't it?
Yes.
But it's not a great World Cup.
Which is strange, because there's been so many goals.
Exactly. Mm. So you think that would normally be accompanied by a few howlers. And Pletikosa, Casillas, and
Akinfeyev
aside. Do you know who technically is the most, who's been the best goalkeeper statistically in the World Cup so far? 100% save completion, no goals conceded. Big Ben Foster. It's true. It's on the FIFA website, mate. Don't shoot the messenger. Wow. I was looking it up earlier.
My God.
Oh, man.
Mondragon, he must be up there as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's the second round matches that have been played thus far. Germany, Algeria has not kicked off yet.
And mind you, in that France and Algeria, Emenike's goal, that if he was just 1 centimetre on the side.
Could have gone either way.
It's such a tidy finish.
It's one of those decisions where if he had been given onside, no one would have complained.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about the remaining three matches at the end of the week. Before we go, before we have correspondence, it's just a little story. South Korea, when they returned home, they had toffees thrown at them.
Oh, right.
Apparently in South Korea, to say to someone, "Go eat a toffee," is an insult.
Oh, right.
Mm.
Love that.
Very strange.
Not many Everton fans.
Have you seen the video of it?
Yeah, I did.
When they were off the plane, it was like they were lined up in the...
they were getting a photo taken.
The airport, though. Yeah, but is that normal?
They returned.
Normally do a photo off the plane?
I don't know, but that was what was going on.
They were pelted with toffees.
They look like the toffees that were like those stinky fruits, fruit toffees. When I was in Malaysia, I had them. They are delicious.
Well, maybe that's a bit of a...
How many toffees are we talking? Because I've not seen the video.
Handfuls
each. Yeah.
Dozens and dozens.
They get some real purchase and they really fly.
How many antagonists were launching sets?
Don't know.
Hard to see.
Clearly
a calculated attack.
Some sort of cell group, I'd imagine.
Is that the South Korean equivalent of egging a politician?
It looks that way.
Because I like that. It's a very British tradition, that egging a politician. I'd like to see it maintained.
Imagine if the England team had got off the plane and got egged. That would be very British.
People weren't even bothered enough to turn up to the airport.
Egg them.
They weren't even bothered enough to be angry.
No.
Well, we thought they'd be shit. They were shit. So
I mean, you can get toffees at an airport. You can't get eggs.
Get them cooked. You can get them cooked.
You can bring eggs.
You can bring eggs, but it's just really easy to do the toffee thing. Just buy them in bulk.
I suppose so.
An excellent point. Correspondence.
Would you wait around to afterwards to get the toffees back?
I think so. Yeah. I'd have them on strings like Top Cat.
Correspondence time.
Now we're gluing eggs back together.
Okay. I've decided to do correspondence now.
Luke, do correspondence now.
Right. Today's question. I sort of got a little bit like I don't really know what to ask, so I just said, "Who out of all the players and managers present at this World Cup would you most like to serve on a submarine with, and why?"
Yeah, that does reek of you panicking a little bit.
There's absolutely no reason for it. I think I might have seen a submarine go past my window when I was thinking about it.
Do you work underwater?
Sometimes. Ready?
Go on.
Living in the Ice Age on Twitter says, Mathieu Valbuena, space is at a premium and he takes up very little.
Nice, yeah,
logical. Nice. Yeah. A logical good start.
He's quite stocky, though.
Regular tweeter Terry Nutkin, a.k.a. Fat PK, says, Roy, as we'd be home lovely and early. This is one of my favourites from Maxwell Jump. Fabio Propella.
Jeez.
Wow.
It looks better written down, I have to say. Barley's Mullet. Perry Groves, he's there commentating. He can handle it. His family are known for it. Mm. You must have seen Perry's cope.
Good God.
Oh, wow.
Good God.
Bloody...
This is a good one. Come on, oi, stay with me. Stick around.
This is the worst thing you've done.
Yeah. Stuart Montague, can I sell you on the idea that Brazil's Fred has a surname and that it is October?
You can sell us. You've been sold.
Yeah,
Ed Tullett, Ecuador manager Reinaldo Rueda, like radar that submarines have. Come on.
No, I'm not coming on.
Okay, this is more our level. John on Twitter. Just John, he says. I would love to watch Per Mattersacker continually bang his head. Pure slapstick.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Callum Davis, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, all aboard the Super Sub.
Yeah.
Better. Victor Moses, so he can part the Red Sea. That's from Ravi Malik.
That is good.
Daniel Smith says, Olivier Giroud, he can help us score some mermaids. And I'll leave it on with this from Ed Carter through the Facebook. Roger Johnson, sinking.
Yes! There you are, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent.
It was worth sticking it out.
Got there in the end.
My goodness.
The Nigerian football, I'm a nuclear.
Yeah.
Roger Johnson, sinking.
Roger Johnson, sinking.
And stop it there. Put the music in there.
Were we sent a picture of some lad with Big Veng on the beach, or was that just a...
We were.
Yeah.
I know, I think it was just doing
the rounds.
Was it?
Yeah. That's worth checking out. He looks great for a 65.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Tell the pants.
We've got to go, though, haven't we?
We'd have to go.
Yes. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch, you know what to do. Say goodbye, Pete.
Yes, goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye from me.